Now, that's one part of the business, and we're going to talk about some of the other, the risks and the sight unseen as well. But I want to also mention to you that when I say the small deals, you do five small deals to pay the bills, one big deal to pay for your retirement. The small deals is cherry-picking bulk REOs. The process of cherry-picking is nothing other than if I send you a package of 100 homes and I'm asking $10,000 per home, and you pick out the homes that have the stronger values in that package. Let's say you pick out five of those houses, and because you're willing to sell me five houses and you're willing to allow me to cherry-pick five homes, you may be requiring me to pay you a premium. A premium is nothing more than, okay, you're asking $10,000 home, but because I picked out five houses, you're going to make me pay a $5,000 premium per home. So now I'm paying $15,000 per home, but get this, JP, the houses may be worth $50,000 or $60,000. So that's how you're able to create some small deals. So now you can cherry pick these five homes and then put them back on the market and become the super wholesaler in your local marketplace by even wholesaling these properties to another wholesaler, or you may decide to buy rehab to sell them, or to buy rehab and rent it for cash flow, depending on what your exit strategy is. So that's
is that pretty common, by the way? Is that pretty common where the banks will allow you to, or whoever is controlling the tape will allow you to cherry pick in return for
Absolutely.
A premium?
Absolutely.
I didn't know that. That is totally new information for me. That's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. And see, that's the thing, JP, is that people think that's why, you know, a lot of people become intimidated with bulk REOs because they don't understand how the system works. I mean, a lot of the strategies and techniques that I teach, I pretty much invented from doing this business for the last 2 years. And what I realize is that a lot of people don't make money in this business because they just focus on the big deals. Focus on the big deals. There's nothing wrong with that. Do two or three big deals a year. Maybe you make $250,000, $300,000 per big deal. Multiply by three deals a year and make yourself almost $1 million from the big deals. But also take into consideration as a real estate investor that you have overhead. You have, if you're working out of home, you have your personal expenses. You got to focus on some small deals. Cherry picking bulk REOs is a way of being able to generate some money so you can take care of your small, you can take care of all the personal expenses that you may have, to keep yourself in the business until you're able to do a big deal. So my business model with bulk REOs is set up the same way, and that's why when a lot of people give up on the business, I'm able to continue to thrive and make money because I'm not just totally focused on the big deals. I'm focused on the small end of the big deals, and then what I do is five small deals. They pay the bills, and then one big deal is paid for my retirement. So that's why I'm able to stay in business, and that's why bulk REO has been a great business for me. And to be quite honest with you, I don't know of any other real estate niche that exists right now in today's current marketplace that's better than bulk REOs. I mean, if you think about it historically, 20 years ago, and I'm sure that you are aware of this, JP, that, you know, history repeats itself. 20 years ago, there was a Resolution Trust Corporation where a lot of the S&L loan banks went under. There were thrifts. They went under because of a lot of shady business practices, almost like what's going on today with the adjustable rate mortgages and negative amortization loans, and all
right.
Those loans have resetted, and now there's so many foreclosures. Well, 20 years ago, this same thing happened. A lot of people don't realize that, and people were able to cash out and make millions, if not billions, of dollars because the government got involved, and it was 774 banks. They had thousands and thousands of residential and commercial assets. They sold off these assets for pennies on the dollar. A lot of sophisticated people went in there and they bought, they held on to some of these properties, and they cashed out and made millions, or if not billions, of dollars. But it's all about putting yourself in a situation where you understand what is taking place before your very eyes. And instead of sitting on the sidelines, you got to get involved. You got to gain the information so that you can get in the game and make money just like everybody else is doing. I mean, if you know my story, JP, I did very, very well rehabbing houses. I did extraordinarily well wholesaling properties. But when the real estate market here in Florida took a turn for the worse, I almost lost everything. I had to shut down my business. I almost lost my personal home, lost a lot of investment properties. And the reason why is because I thought that the market was going to keep going up and up and up and that it would never go down. But I got caught blindsided like a lot of other investors, not just in Florida, but across the entire United States. But what I learned is that, you know, just because my niche and my real estate strategies were not working anymore doesn't mean that everyone's real estate strategies were not working anymore. And I was lucky enough to come across an article in the Wall Street Journal And if you read this bargain basement, the article is called Bargain Basement REO Properties. And I learned that there's a lot of guys that who are sophisticated, who are making a lot of money in today's real estate market, buying and selling bulk REOs as well as non-performing notes. And that article helped me understand that, you know, it's just me. It's not that the whole world is coming to an end. It's just that my world came to an end because I wasn't updating myself with new and improved techniques and strategies that work in today's real estate market. And because of that article, I really dove into this business and really spent the last couple of years working on it and being able to make a lot of money to get myself out of debt, to get myself back in the game, get myself out of a hardship situation that I was in. So the business works. I know it works because I do it from sun up to sundown, and it's for, you know, people who are serious about making money in today's real estate market. There's another thing that you mentioned about risk. There's no risk whatsoever. There's only risk when you buy the homes. And it doesn't make a difference if you buy one home or if you buy 100 homes. It's always going to be risk. But, again, it goes back to the number one fundamentals that I learned as a real estate investor, that you make money on the buy, not the sell. When you buy right, you can sell for the right profit. So you want to make sure that you do your AVMs, which is automated valuation models, and your BPOs before you take down a package if you decide to commit to cash. If you're not committing to cash, it's no risk whatsoever because you're just investing your time. And, of course, your time is valuable, so you want to make sure that you don't invest a lot of your time and don't see a return on your investment. But if you're acting as a seller's mandate, as we discussed earlier, or if you're acting as a buyer's mandate, as we discussed earlier, there's really no risk out of your pocket. You're not investing your credit. You're not investing your cash. The only thing you're doing is investing your time. You're acting as a transactional engineer. You're putting buyers and sellers together to make the arbitrage, which could be, you know, 25 to 100 to $1 million in fees. What I do is I show my students how to protect themselves using a non-circumvention non-disclosure agreement or how to fill out a master fee agreement and use the right contract so that you can protect yourself and how to control the closing, whether you're closing at a title company or an attorney's office. So that's what I teach a lot of my students, so that I set them up for success, not failure, and that they're always protected using these strategies.
So that, rewinding just a little bit, that Wall Street Journal article was really a pivotal moment for you. I mean, it was an eye-opener in a time when things had turned for the worse for you again, which is not something you're obviously unfamiliar with in your life. And there's a whole different set of lessons involved in how you've handled adversity. But without going there right now, the Wall Street Journal article opened your eyes, and it set you off on a path where over a couple of years you became heavily involved in the bulk REO side of it. And I'm really, one of the things you said that really fascinates me that I was completely unaware of before now is how you have learned to create smaller deals out of bigger bulk REO deals. And to me, up to this point, you know, and like I said, bulk REOs has always been kind of a mystery to me, but bulk REOs equals only big deals. And that's just my assumption. I'm sure that's most people's assumption. And you know, big meaning millions of dollars or, you know, $800,000 type transactions. But the ability for you to go in and create those base hits out of bulk REO packages is huge. It really is.
Absolutely.
Let's talk for a minute, though. I want to discuss the concept of finding credibility. One of the things I'm hearing that you're saying is key to mitigating risk in these transactions is being sure that you're dealing with credible people on each side of the transaction. In your article, here's how you said it, and I'm just quoting the article. The worst part about brokering bulk REO deals is finding real, and that's in bold and italics, buyers and sellers. Most of my time is spent, frankly, filtering through the fake buyers and sellers of bulk REOs. There are a lot of fake buyers and sellers of bulk REOs who care nothing more than to waste your time. And then on the blog, under your article, someone who posted their name as Hopeful Homes had this to say. As someone who has been involved in hundreds of bulk REO deals that never closed, ranging from as small as $300,000 packages to as large as $500 million packages from hedge funds, I can tell you that the statement that there are a lot of fake buyers and fake sellers is an understatement. I would say most are quote-unquote buyers that don't have the money to buy and quote-unquote sellers that don't have title to the properties on the tape. Because of this, any real buyers and sellers have become totally paranoid in the last couple of years, and they wind up implementing procedures where the other has to jump through hoops instead of getting the deal done. Needless to say, the deal doesn't go anywhere in that case. Obviously, that hit a pain button with Hopeful Homes. Tell me more about this. Why are there so many fake buyers, and what advice would you have for Hopeful Homes or someone else in weeding them out?
Well, here's how I do this, and it's just as simple as this, and this is what I share with a lot of my students. And as simple as this, when you're talking with a potential buyer, there's two questions that you ask them, and I learned this over 12 months after dealing with a lot of joker brokers. That's what you call them in this industry. You ask them two questions. Are you a buyer, JP, or are you a broker? Now, let's say, JP, I ask you, what are you, JP? Let's just say, hypothetically, you're in this business. What are you, JP? Who are you? Are you a buyer or you a broker? That's the question?
I'm a broker.
You're broke. Okay, well, thank you, JP. I appreciate your honesty. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Go ahead and get your buyer on the phone and then give me a call back so we can all do a conference call together. Because here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to differentiate between the buyer and the broker. I want to deal with buyers. I want people who can verify proof of funds, who are ready, willing, and able to close a deal. Because you just told me that you're a broker, that means that you don't have the signatory authorization to cut the check. I want to deal with people who write checks, not people who just put together deals. And if you have a real buyer, what you're going to do is say, okay, no problem. I'll put my buyer on the phone, and we'll schedule another conference call, and we can all have this conversation together. So that's how I do it. If you're a buyer, then I treat you totally different. You say, oh, Keenan, I'm a buyer. Okay, thank you. Well, the first protocol is to send me over your verifiable proof of funds, and I'll send you over a sanitized tape. When you look at the sanitized tape, I send you over the sanitized tape, then you send me over your verifiable proof of funds. And the difference between a sanitized tape and an unsanitized tape is with a sanitized tape, it doesn't have the property addresses. It may just say it may provide the city, the zip code, and that's pretty much it. An unsanitized tape may say 123 Jackson Street with the city and the zip code. So I'll send you over a sanitized tape so that you can look and find out if some of the properties are in the areas where you want to buy, and then you'll send me over your verifiable proof of funds, and then after you send me your verifiable proof of funds, then I'll send you over the unsanitized tape that lists the whole entire package. So now you can take the unsanitized tape and go and order your AVMs and your BPOs and try to move forward with closing the deal. So that is the best way of how you handle it. You just need to find out, are they a buyer or are they a broker? If they're not a buyer, then they need to put the buyer on the phone. If they are a buyer, then you need to send them over your sanitized tape for them to take a look at what you have available. Then they can send you a verifiable proof of funds before you send them over your unsanitized tape. Because what you don't want to do is you don't want to send your unsanitized tape to a lot of people out there, because what happens is people start e-blasting it to all their friends and all the other brokers and the daisy chain guys, and now it dilutes the value of your tape. And your tape is nothing other than an Excel spreadsheet listing properties available for sale that you have in your package. Do you follow me, JP?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's how you protect yourself. And I don't waste my time, and I train not only my associates in my office as well as my students outside of my office how not to waste their time with joker brokers. What happens a lot of times is people get caught up with, you know, this, and it may not be because people have bad intentions, by, you know, acting as a broker, you know, but what happens a lot of times is people are just misled. You know, they may call a guy, and this guy may say that he has, you know, $10 million to buy a bulk REO package, but what happens, he may not even have any money. And because he doesn't have money, now you got this renegade broker running around trying to find a $10 million package, you know, and then he's calling all the other guys who are real sellers. Yeah, I got $10 million and I got $10 million. And the guy who he's working with doesn't even have the money because he didn't even verify to see if this guy had money in his account or not. So that's what happens sometimes, and that's why people are just misled and get frustrated because they deal with a lot of these joker brokers, people who are caught up in this daisy chain because the guys are not real. So you have to make sure that you protect yourself because your time is valuable. Even though this is not a business where you have to invest cash or credit, it is a business that you have to invest your time. And you got to put a price tag on it. So you want to make sure that you're dealing with credible sellers and that you're dealing with credible buyers. And once you're able to differentiate between the two, you're going to be much more productive in this business.